are listening to the weekly podcast of Life Ministry Church. For more information, head to our website www.lmc.org.au.
We might just pray and then I'll get on with it. Father, we just give you thanks for your word. And Lord, for the time that we had in worship this morning, and Lord, you're here, you want to speak to us. And so, Lord, I pray that you would do that through me. And we just give you thanks for this time and know that your spirit is here. So, Lord, let our hearts, our minds and our ears be open to what you have to say. And we pray these things in Jesus' name. Amen. So a couple of weeks ago, and I'm just going to give you a quick recap, I shared about Jesus is on the water. And so this is part two of that message. And it came up through a question that was going through my mind is, what would you say to your younger self? And so what's something you would say to your younger self? And as I considered that, the thing that came into my mind was that I would take more risks in life. And so it was, you know, things like financial risks, but it was faith risks. I would take more risks in life. And we've heard before that faith is spelt R-I-S-K, risk. And so that's what today is about. It's about faith. And Hebrews 11 says, I think you follow it on the screen now, faith is the assurance, the confirmation, the title deed of things we hope for, being the proof of things we do not see and the conviction of their reality. Faith perceiving as real fact what is not revealed yet to the senses. So it's in the future. And we look at examples in the Bible and, you know, the classic scripture out of Hebrews that talks about the great people of faith, and Noah is one of those. He had faith. God gave him a picture of an ark. And to a lot of people that were there at the time, they thought he was crazy building an ark. No water around, and yet God gave him the picture. And so he lived a life of faith. And so we also see different examples. We see Jericho, where the people marched, the Israelites marched around Jericho. And they didn't see the walls come down before they marched. They came down after they marched. So they stepped out in faith. And that is what I would call, you know, Noah's would be a life faith. And that would probably be a situational faith. When we step out and say, pray for someone, that's situational faith. But we still live a life of faith. And we see Jesus said to the Roman centurion about his servant boy when he came to Jesus and said, can you pray for the servant boy? And Jesus said, he had no connection with Jesus at all, but he'd heard about him, and he said, you of great faith. So the servant boy wasn't healed before he went to Jesus, but he was healed. And Jesus said, you of great faith. So we see life faith, living by faith, and situational faith. Whatever it is, it's faith. And so the story we drew from was in the book of Matthew. And I'll just recap very quickly the five things that I talked about. But it was Matthew 14 and 26 to 33. We read the full scripture. It was about Jesus walking on the water and Peter walking on the water. And there was five things that I got out of there. And if we can go to the first thing, and we saw in verse 22, it said that Jesus directed his disciples to get into the boat and go before him to the other side while he sent away the crowds. And so in this situation, it wasn't by accident. It didn't happen by accident. There wasn't an accident that Jesus knew what was going on. He knew there was going to be storms and the water was going to be rough, and he actually still sent them out onto the water. And so our life is a life of trust and obedience. Trust and obey, for there's no other way. Very important in our day-to-day comings and goings. And notice the story didn't have, and if you've got it in front of you, it didn't have a discussion between Jesus and the disciples whether it was a good idea or not. The disciples just stepped out in what Jesus had asked him asked them to do. Jeremiah 7:23, and this is the Praised version, says, "But this thing I command them, listen and obey my voice." And at the end of that verse it says, "So that it may be well with you." And so that was the first thing that we drew out of that passage. The second thing was, it's often in the storm and or in the darkness that Jesus does his best work. And in verse 24 it says, "But the boat was by this time out at sea, many furlongs, a furlong is 1/8 of a mile, distant from the land, beaten and tossed by the waves, for the wind was against them." If we could put that picture up of just of the water. Galilee is a big body of water. And when it got rough, it got really rough. It still gets very rough today. And the ships and the boats come in when it gets really rough. And so this is what the life is about. And Jesus does his best work in the darkness. This is where he shines the brightest. So when we step out in faith in Christ, we can see the darkness come down and light brought into those situations. The third thing I saw in it was, it isn't always convenient. In verse 25, it says that they were out there on the water between 3 and 6 a.m. of the night, and Jesus came to them walking on the sea. Between 3 and 6 a.m. isn't the best time to be doing stuff on the sea. It's not the best time for anybody at any stage. I don't know how many people here do their best work between 3 and 6 a.m. I see all those hands. Amazing stuff. I certainly don't do my best work between 3 and 6 a.m. And so God's timing doesn't always line up with ours. True? It's not always convenient, is it? And so in this situation, it was a classic case. The timing didn't line up and the water wasn't in the best shape either. And so they still went out, and it doesn't always make sense. The fourth thing we saw is we will experience fear. When we step out in faith, there's a good chance that we will experience fear. God talks about fear in the Bible because he knows we're going to experience it. And so if you're sensing fear, that can be the enemy at work, but we've got to overcome that, because we know Jesus overcame that, and we've got to step out in faith regardless. It says here, "And when the disciples saw him walking on the sea, they were terrified and said, 'It's a ghost,' and they screamed out with fright." And so the thing we've got to note, though, that even though they experienced fear, Jesus was with them in the storm. And the last thing that we took out of that was the fifth thing, was that I wrote here, he is a ghost. And so Jesus came on the water then for the people. These days, he sent the Holy Spirit to be with us. And so sometimes in our life of faith and as we step out in faith, we need Jesus coming on the water to us in the form of the Holy Spirit. It's Father, Son, Holy Spirit. So don't be afraid. The Holy Spirit is with us and will walk with us and is designed to comfort and guide us in everything we do. So that's where we got to last time. So if we could quickly run the video, Annalise, that'd be great. So just watch the screens.
Dangerous! Which is Son of God.
So if you've got your Bibles there, we're going to continue the story from last time. Matthew 14, and we're going to read from verses 26 to 33. So I'll just read that through and you can follow that on the screens. But it's great to follow in your Bibles if you've got them there. And when the disciples saw him walking on the sea, they were terrified and said, "It is a ghost." And they screamed out with fright. But instantly he spoke to them saying, "Take courage, I am. Stop being afraid." And Peter answered him, "Lord, if it is you, command me to come to you on the water." He said, "Come." So Peter got out of the boat and walked on the water, and he came toward Jesus. But when he perceived and felt the strong wind, he was frightened. And as he began to sink, he cried out, "Lord, save me." Instantly Jesus reached out his hand and caught and held him, saying to him, "O you of little faith, why did you doubt?" And when they got back into the boat, the wind ceased, and those in the boat knelt and worshipped him, saying, "Truly, you are the Son of God." And so the sixth thing that I've got to take out of this passage this morning is, Lord, if it is you. In verse 28, we see, "And Peter answered him, Lord, if it is you, command me to come onto the water." Now, Peter obviously wanted to step out onto the water, but he waited until he was called. In the scripture, we can see that, "Lord, if it is you, command me to come onto the water." He waited to step out in faith. And as we look at that, when you step out in faith, be sure God is calling. The principles of God, be sure they're at work in what you're stepping out into, that it lines up with the Word of God. You've got a peace about it. It's not just in one little scripture that you read that you've opened up and pointed at and said, "That's what I need for today." And it's God's idea, not just yours or someone else's good idea. And I had a couple of examples with this, and it is a classic case of Abraham and Sarah. And when you read Hebrews, as I mentioned about the great people of faith, it talks about Abraham and as being one of the great people of faith. But I'm not sure whether you know, but Abraham had two sons, Ishmael and Isaac. And Ishmael was he and Sarah's idea. Isaac was God's idea. And so there'd been a promise that was made to Abraham and Sarah, but they decided that they would speed up the process and that they would put their picture into the story instead of God's. And so I don't want to go into the story, but they decided that they would have a child before what God had promised them, that it was Hagar that Abraham slept with to bring about Ishmael. And the crazy thing is that wasn't God's design. God had said that Sarah will have a baby. And so it ended up being the case. And so in the great story of faith, it talked about Isaac being the child, not Ishmael, because Isaac was the one that God had promised, and that's who he asked to step out in faith for. So be careful when we step out in faith that it's not your idea or someone else's idea, that it's God's idea. So we see that, and the next thing that I got out of that, and the other thing was I just wanted to talk about Hillsong. Hillsong Church, a number of years ago, they went out and they had a vision for their conference. And the vision for their conference was that they would empower the local church. And I just want to take my hat off to Hillsong, because it was God's idea and that they stepped out in faith. And you can see the growth of Hillsong right across the world. but they stepped out and they stayed true to what God had asked them to do, to empower the local church. And so when it first started in the churches in Sydney, they gathered all the local churches around and did it together. And that was what God had called them to do. Now, I'm not going to mention name, but I've seen a lot of people that have come up with good ideas to have conferences since, because it was a good idea for Hillsong to do it. So, well, let's, you know, there's some good way to raise some revenue for the church, so let's start a conference. And they weren't God ideas. They were just good ideas based on what they'd seen. So when we step out in faith, make sure it's a God idea and not a good idea. And so the second thing we see, that when God calls, step out. So let me ask you, what's the last thing that God asked you to do? Have you actioned it yet? Maybe it was as simple as just saying sorry to someone. And as we heard Andy speak a couple of weeks ago about forgiveness, we don't need a word from God to forgive people. It's clear. And we and some people go, oh, you know, I'm not hearing from God. Well, what's the last thing God asks you to do? Have you stepped out into that? It could be as simple as saying sorry or forgiving someone. And then we wonder why, you know, we can't hear God. He's not speaking. So that was the sixth thing. The seventh thing we see in verse 32, the wind ceased. And when they got into the boat, the wind ceased. So this is after Jesus had helped Peter out of the water and they got into the boat and the wind ceased. Peter didn't wait until the wind died down. He stepped out in the middle of the storm. Jesus didn't say, hang on, Peter, just wait a sec, Peter. I'll just make everything perfectly still and then step out onto the water. So what is your God, I'll do it, but not until the wind ceases? What is your God, I'll do it, but not until the wind ceases? Maybe your God, I'll do it, but it's not until the wind ceases is, you know, I'll do it, God, once I have kids. Then I'll do it. We'll get all that storm out of the way of having kids, and then I'll do it. Maybe it's once the kids leave home, I'll do it. So we'll get all the storm of the kids being at home, and then I'll step out in faith and I'll do what you've asked me to do, but not until then, because we want to wait till the storm ceases. Maybe it's once I finish school, then I'll step out in faith. Then I'll do it. Maybe it's once I've got more time. Time. What's time? Once I get more time, I'll do it, God. I've got a lot of important things to do and it's very busy, and then I'll step out. Is it once I retire? I've got all my working life to deal with, God. Once I retire, then I'll step out in faith and I'll do what you've asked me to do. Once I'm fully healthy, then I'll step out. Once I'm in a different job, then I'll step out. Well, what is it for you? Now, maybe there's some people today here and it's maybe once the new pastor starts, then I'll step out. We need to wait till the storm clears. Did I just say that? You could be waiting for a long time. So what is your... the wind ceased. What is your... God, I'm not going to step out in faith until it's perfect. The eighth thing that I got is, Lord, save me. And that was in verse 29 and 30. He said, come. So Peter got out of the boat and walked on the water, and he came toward Jesus. But when he perceived and felt strong wind, he was frightened. And as he began to sink, he cried out, "Lord, save me from death." Can I tell you, just because we step out onto the water doesn't guarantee we won't sink. There's no guarantee in that. Stepping out in faith or living a life of faith doesn't guarantee perfection. There's only one that's perfect. We've got to know that. But we can't sit there and say, "Well, I'm not stepping out because I'm not perfect." I don't know, has anyone done anything on the water here before? Anyone done any water sports or anything on the water? Anyone here? I've done a bit of it on the water. It's much better than stuff on the snow. Anyone know what this is? Kneeboard? This is a kneeboard. This is our family kneeboard. Seen many good accidents. Many bruises. It's funny at the time. I went kneeboarding for the first time, and it was when I was in my mid-20s. And there's two ways that that you can get up onto a kneeboard. You can basically sit the boat fairly close to the bank and sit the board kind of on the bank, and you just hang onto the rope. The boat takes off and you're kind of easy to get out. And then there's the other way where you've actually got to start in the water and get up onto the kneeboard. Now, for an old Gumby like me, that's not easy. That's not easy to get out of the water like that. So anyway, for the first time when I first went kneeboarding, I did the bank start, which was fantastic because it was nice and easy. And I went out kneeboarding, and it was fantastic. It was really good. And we were flying along. I was on with a mate. I think Rachel Whelan's here today. Adam's there too. It was with you, Adam. And I was on the back of the boat with Adam the first time that I kneeboarded. And Adam was kind of teaching me. I don't know how much help he was, but he was teaching me. But we were in Yarrawonga on the Murray, and there was the particular spot where we went, there was an area where you had to turn the boat, and so we're out there having a good time, and there was no other boats on the water, which meant that it wasn't that rocky. But on this particular turn, I was on the outside, and so as the boat turned, the further you went out, the faster you got. And it was really flat water on the outside. And, geez, it was fun. It was so much fun. I was hanging on and the board was flying across the water, and it was going really good. And then Adam shouts out to me, "Hey, Chris, the wake of the boat is going to catch up with us in a minute. You want to get back inside the wake because it might be disastrous." And I thought, yeah, give me a break. This is fun. And so anyway, sure enough, as the boat turned, I came back in and across the wake, and it was like, well, it felt like a tidal wave. It wasn't really. That's just me exaggerating. But I can remember the front of the board, the nose of the board dipped in under the wake. And so that's not the way you're meant to go kneeboarding. And so instead of me being flying across the water going beautifully, the back of the board then went up, and I did a face plant, and it was like a lacquer band where the board just went bang and my face was in the water. And I can tell you, there's one other time that I've been in more pain on the water, but that would be the second most time that I've been in pain on the water. And I lay in the water and I did not want to get back on the board. I can tell you, it was very, very painful, to the point where I could just feel my whole body was just in pain. I was in incredible pain. And I have been kneeboarding since, and I did have to get back on the board. But, you know, sometimes when we step out in faith, it's amazing for a while, and then a wave comes. And it doesn't do you any good. Now, the wave could be your own doing, or it might be someone else's doing. You know, I remember when I became a Christian and I was 17, and for the first 3 or 4 years, it was like that I'd taken off from the bank, and I was hanging onto that rope, and I was flying across the water. I was having a great time. And then I had to get back inside the wake. And I started to mess around in my life. And things went pretty pear-shaped because of, you know, there'd been a few waves coming. I'd made some bad decisions and had a couple of fairly major falls. But, you know, the next point that I'm going to come to is that Jesus gets back in the boat with you. And I can remember the time that I'd slowly started to get my life back into gear. And I can remember the time, and I was standing about where Peter Owen is sitting. I can remember. And it was in about 1997, I think it was. 1996 and 97. I can remember one of the pastors here, and I responded to an altar call after church. And the reason I can remember it is because as much as I'd taken some steps to set some things right, there was a reconciling between God and I that needed to happen. And you know what? Jesus didn't leave me hanging. God didn't leave me hanging. He didn't leave me in a place where it was just like, you're on your own now, buddy. And I can remember just bursting into tears. You know, it's interesting, Graham talked about God's love. I could burst into tears, and God's love just, it really covered me amazingly. And it was, you know, I'd stepped out in faith and everything was going great, and then I'd made some mistakes along the way, and I'd come off the kneeboard and I'd hurt myself badly. But Jesus was there when I was ready to respond. And he was there for me. And he got back in the boat with me. Instantly, Jesus reached out his hand and caught and held him, saying, "Oh, you of little faith, why did you doubt? Why did you lose focus?" And then they got back into the boat and the wind ceased. Isaiah 41 says that, "So do not fear, for I am with you." Joshua 1:9 says, "Have I not commanded you, be strong and courageous, do not be terrified or dismayed, intimidated, for the Lord your God is with you wherever you go." Matthew 28:20, it's the final thing, one of the final things that Jesus said to his disciples, teaching them to observe everything that I have commanded you, and lo, I am with you always, remaining with you perpetually, regardless of circumstance and on every occasion, even to the end of the age. Jesus will get back in the boat with you. Even when you've fallen or made a mistake. And you know what? That's not the last mistake I've made. Jesus is always willing to be there if we reach out to him. And the last thing that I've got is God gets the glory. If we see in verse 33, it says, "And those in the boat knelt and worshipped him, saying, 'Truly, you are the Son of God.'" When we step out in faith like Peter, even though he fell, even though he messed up, you notice, it's interesting, you notice the people in the boat, that they didn't say, "Oh, Peter, you know, he fell. What a letdown. That was, you know, that was looking good. That was okay, but what a letdown. That was just useless." The focus wasn't on Peter's lack of ability, but on Jesus' ability. And it says that they worshipped him. You know what? Regardless, you know, we all look at Peter falling, but at least he had a crack. At least he stepped out. At least he had a go. And yeah, he made a mistake, but you know, it was part of the process with Peter. And he made some more mistakes, but gee, he was involved with some amazing stuff. And I wonder if the people in the boat, I wonder how many of them in the boat that were watching with Peter I wonder if they'd heard the voice of Jesus as well. I wonder if Jesus had said to all of them, come onto the water. But they were spectators. Now, they saw Peter fall. But Jesus got the glory in the end. They were amazed. It says they were all amazed. They gave God the glory. No matter what the circumstance in your life or what you're facing or what's going on, you know, there might be someone who's in trouble around you. The focus isn't on your strength. It's often in our weakness. And the scripture says that his strength is made perfect in our weakness. So when we fail, even though Peter failed, God still got the glory. And the Bible says, when I am lifted up, I will draw all men to the Father. So we can't be concerned about our shortcomings. We've got to be concerned about what God can do. Steph, if you can come, please, that'd be great. We've got a bit of time. If we have a look at Matthew 19:26 in the Amplified, all this has been pretty much from the Amplified. Jesus said, and he said, but just looked at them and he said, with people, as far as it depends on them, this is why I love the Amplified. It says, with people, as far as it depends on them, it is impossible. But with God, all things are possible. Now, when I'm preparing a message, it is rare, it is extremely rare where God gives me things really specifically for an altar call this morning. But I think this needs an altar call, and I think there's some people that need to respond this morning. Now, I want to go back to the picture of that knee board. And like I said, it could have been the last time that I got on that knee board. You know, when I crashed into the water at that time. But, you know, and I've crashed other times too. There's been plenty of other times I've crashed on it. But, geez, I've had some good times on that knee board. It's been amazing. And sometimes it's been on my own behind the boat, and sometimes it's been with others behind the boat. But, gee, I've had some good times on the knee board. And, you know, there's some people, and this is the first thing, so I want you to hear this. This is number one. This is the number one point that I've got for an altar call. There's some people here today, and you were flying across the water in your faith, and you had a tumble. You made a mistake. You were disappointed. You were moved aside. You are flying along and you are just moved aside. It seems like you were moved aside. You got hurt. You're flying along in your faith and you got hurt. You got burnt out. You came across a massive storm in your life. And you said, that's it, God. That's the last time I'm stepping out. There's too much pain involved with this life of faith. Or you just said, I'll do little things, but not much. It's just too hard to get back on the knee board, to live that life of faith. And you know, one of the things that I had when I prepared this, and this is for one person here, and I'll come back to the call in a minute, but this is for one person here, that you've been hurt so badly in your walk and your life with faith, whether it's through church, that, and you can relate to this today, that you've been hurt so badly that your bones hurt. Now, I don't know who it's for or what it is, but that's what God gave me. It's like when I came off the knee board, I was just in so much pain and my bones hurt. But there's someone here today and you've been hurt so badly in the process, and you can relate to that. You were hurt so badly that your bones hurt. Well, you know what? Jesus got back. He's getting back. He's in the boat with you. And it doesn't mean that he doesn't want you to step out again. And so he wants to see you flying across the water again. And that part with the bone suit is for one person, but there's others here. And you've made some mistakes in your life. And you've said that, I'm just going to play around the edges. I'm just going to come along to church. You're part of an army. And there's some work to do out there. And God wants you to step out again. And he wants to deal with that today. And you're going to have to do it in front of people. I'm sorry, but I'm not going to make this easy today. I want genuine people out the front. And I'm not going to have everyone standing up. So when I call, I want you to come. And you'll know right now if it's you. The second thing that I had is that there's some who have never stepped out because of fear. Fear of failure, fear of what people think, whatever it is. You've never stepped out. And God's saying today, don't just be the person who's out in the boat. I know you obeyed to get on the boat and to go on the water, but God's saying, I want you to step out. You never know the possibilities in a life of faith. And the third thing that I had, there are some people are here and you're waiting for the perfect timing. You're waiting for the water to be perfectly still. So you know that list that I read. And in that thought process, it may never come. Though that water may never be perfectly still. But remember, God didn't call Peter while the waters were perfectly still. Now, I don't know what it is for you. I'm not sure whether today you've been hurt and you won't step out, or however, or bruised, or whatever it is, and you won't step out, or whether you've never stepped out, but you know God's calling you today, or you're waiting for the perfect moment to step out in faith. Maybe there's someone here, or there's some people here, you've never stepped out to make a decision to follow Christ. Today's the day, if that's you. So as the keyboard plays, you will know if I have been speaking to you through the words that I want you to come forward and respond. Gutsy call, but if it's you, I want you to come forward and respond. I'll just wait. Everyone's watching. Everyone was watching Peter too when he stepped out of the boat. Sorry, I don't want to make this easy. I know there's more.
God, this morning when I was getting ready, he gave me a picture of him stepping out on the water, and it was a real kid's picture. And I thought, well, is this really just a Sunday school message that we've all heard? And for a kid, they say, wow, Jesus stepped out on the water. That's amazing. But as adults, we can come with adult hearts and forget the incredibleness of that. And I thought, well, why? Why would you step out on the water? Why did you do that? And it's because with him, all things are possible. And so it's an encouragement to you, whatever is impossible, whatever is too big, what is too overwhelming, God, Jesus did that to show you that with him, all things are possible. So take courage, come out if this word is for you, respond, see your life changed.
Take another moment.
God never deals in condemnation or fear. He never deals in condemnation or fear. He always does in love. He might have been out of the boat in Peter, but that's before the cross. He's actually in you. He's actually in your boat. And Paul says in Romans that there is nothing that separates you from his love. There is no power. It is a nothing. He is in you. And whatever you do, he is in you with his strength and with his power and with his love. Jesus is the Son of God. But he's the Son of Man. He's your brother. He's like you and we are like him. He walked on the water as a Son of Man. And he's telling you, you are the Son of Man. And you are also the Son of God.
Could I just get pastors and leaders just to stand with those, and we're going to pray together. Just one person behind each would be great. So this is really important, because it's not just about what's going on here this morning. This is about what happens from here. And I just encourage each and every person that's responded to action this today. Action. Whatever God's spoken to you about is to action it. All right, so I'm going to pray and then we're going to close. Father, we just give you thanks for your word. Lord, I just give you thanks for each and every person that's responded, and for whatever reason that you have responded. Father, I just pray where there's healing needed. Lord, that scripture that comes to mind is, I'm going to restore the years the locusts have stolen. And Father, I pray that what the enemy has used for bad, that you're going to use for your greatness, and you're going to be glorified through these situations. And so, Father, I'm excited about what is going to happen through these responses today. And so, Father, I pray that you would just encourage, empower. Lord, I pray that the power of the Holy Spirit would be upon each of these people here to step out into what you've called them to. And Father, we would see a shaking of the kingdom of darkness because of what we've seen. And so, Lord, it's your day, it's your word, and Lord, we want to see you get the glory through whatever's taken. And so, Lord, we just give you thanks for this day, and we pray that you will go before us in all we do. And we pray these things in Jesus' name. And everyone said, amen, amen. Awesome stuff.